we contemplate this great gift of Christmas, Jesus, who took on our human nature, there's a strong connection to our celebration of the Eucharist. Jesus was born in a town called Bethlehem, which in Hebrew means house of bread. And what the telling point about his birth was that Mary laid him in a manger. A manger, of course, is not a crib, right? It's a feeding trough for the animals, right? Where the animals would be able to go night and day to feed themselves, to eat, right? It's not a sanitary place. It's not the right place to put a baby, a newborn. But that was the sign. And when the angels went to the shepherds, they said, this is how you'll know that this sign is special, spectacular, that this is indeed the Savior, that this babe, this newborn, will be lying in the animal's feeding trough. Right? The trough is there so that any animal can go to have their hunger satiated. Mary lays Jesus in the manger as a sign to us that he will be the one that sustains us. He is the one who will give himself as our food. See, Jesus came not to come to rule as a king, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He was born to die. He was born to die so that in dying, you and I might have the hope of eternal life. And he's made himself available for us, so that we could have our hunger for God, our hunger for truth, our hunger for righteousness, for mercy, for peace, all of the great desires of our hearts, we could have those hungers satiated in him. Father John Harden said that Christmas is the Eucharist is the prolongation of Christmas, right? Every time we come to celebrate the Mass, Jesus comes to us again. Right? He wasn't just born once for us, a long time ago, far away, and then went away. He remained with us. He said to his disciples, I am the bread of life. And on the night of the Last Supper, he said, this is my body. This is my blood. Do this in memory of me. He wanted to remain with us. And so the Eucharist is the prolongation of the mystery that we celebrate in a particular way tonight, the mystery of Christmas, the mystery of God among us, Emmanuel, God with us. He has come to us. Jesus remains with us in the Eucharist. Every time we come to Mass, therefore, we are in the same celebration, united with what we're contemplating on this most holy of nights. It's amazing the love that God has for us, the lengths that he was willing to go to prove it, the simplicity, the humility with which he came. And it's the same in the Eucharist, the most simple form of human sustenance, the form of bread, the most humble thing, right? Jesus chose to take that form as he comes to us, truly, not in a symbol, but in reality. This is his body. This is his blood. He comes to us. Amazing, the love that God has for you and for me. When we discover that love, when we're wrapped up into the mystery of how much God desires to fill us up, to feed us, to fulfill us, we always must ask, well, what's our proper response? Right? How should we respond to this? The first response is joy. But there's no greater joy than a feast. And here we have the feast of feasts, the greatest feast, the feast for our hearts, our souls. Jesus, become our food. Isaiah said, the joy will be abundant, like the joy of the harvest, right? Our farmers probably understand this, particularly in a year that's tough and you finally get the harvest in like this year. The joy, there must be nothing like it, right? The joy of the harvest, right? Jesus just having that abundance of food. That's the joy that the Lord wants to fill us with. The second response, of course, is love, right? Love is repaid by love alone, the love that we experience from Jesus, who is willing to give everything for us, who comes to us day in and day out, who is patient with us, who waits for us to return to him, who never stops loving us, right? The only fitting response to that gift of love is to love him in return. And in fact, that's the purpose of it all. That's the only thing that he desires from us. That's why he came among us. That's why he died for us. That's why he remains with us in the Eucharist. Because he wants our love, he begs for it. He waits for it. So we respond with joy, we respond with love, and we respond with obedience. The obedience of faith, right? To live as he lived. To believe in the church that he founded upon the rock of Peter, the first pope. To give our hearts to the will of another, to the will of the Father who created us, who knows what is best for us, whose way is what will lead us to true happiness. To live in the obedience of faith is the right response when we recognize the tremendous love that has been shown to us by Jesus. Right? We go through life and we get hungry, right? Some of us are probably thinking about our next meal right now, okay? That's the way we are, okay? Some of you have excellent meals waiting for you at home, right? We get hungry, but our souls are always hungering for the Lord. And Jesus was placed in this trough where the animals could come day and night as a reminder that you and I can go to him anytime, at any moment. This is why we built this beautiful adoration chapel. If you haven't had a chance yet to see it, just go on your way out today. Take some time. That chapel is open all the time for us so that we can come and let Jesus, who came to become our food, fulfill the hunger in our hearts. What a beautiful gift it is. Christmas prolonged for us at every Mass, in every Eucharist. Come, my friends, let us adore him. He is the King of Kings. He is the great sign from heaven, this child laid in a manger. He has come to become our food, to fulfill the deepest longing, the deepest hunger of our human hearts.